Good morning. Good to see everyone out. Excited about a great day in the Lord and a nice day outside even. And with this side, the church is a lot more level today. Last 1 week, we had everybody over there. So I don't think we're going to turn over today. So maybe we'll be okay. But as far as prayer request goes, I ask you to remember the family of Ivadale. Some of you may not know, she passed away yesterday. So I ask you to remember that family and be much in prayer for them. The arrangements will be Tuesday, visitation from 1 to 2, the funeral 2 at the chapel at Dryden's, so be much in prayer for that service also. The other prayer requests will be asking you to remember Stephanie and Ashland. They travel home there in Missouri, be leaving here in a few minutes, heading back towards us. We got some more others traveling, I'm sure. As far as sick, ask you to continue to remember my mother, remember Maudie. I'm sure I'm missing some. Has anybody got a prayer request this morning?
Lily Camp, the baby.
Yes, remember the baby. Any others? Have any unspoken this morning? I know we have a lot of them that people may not want to mention, but God knows all about them. And I ask you to be praying earnestly. As you know, we talked about starting a cancer ministry here for reaching out to our community, the ones who have been diagnosed with cancer or involved with it in any way. We're going to try to be a place they can come and get some refuge, some help. And we have signed up two of our people here to go to some classes at Noonan. They have I think it's called Journey of Hope. Is that the right name of it? They teach us how to start a cancer ministry because we have good intentions on our heart, but we don't know how to do it. So that's what they're there for. They teach us how to go forward and to reach out to the community. And we've got Pat and Misty have volunteered to spend 2 days down in Noonan for us in August. And they'll come back, and those that want to be involved here, I think, did y'all say how much training?
8 weeks.
8 week training will be involved. So Lord lays on your heart, we'll need helpers, we'll need workers to make this thing happen. And I believe it's God's will that we go forward with it. Ask you to remember them as they'll be traveling back and forth because they got to go through 2 roundabouts. And you just had to be in our Sunday school class this morning to understand what I'm talking about. But those roundabouts can get them messed up. So there's 2 of them on the way down there. But on a serious matter, pray for them. And I thank God for them that they're willing to go and spend their time to be able to reach out to others and to help. And not just them, there's many others that's involved with this that's going to see it through. So thank God for that, and excited for it to get started and to see how that we can reach the people who has no hope. That word, we was talking about it in our Sunday school. When you hear the word cancer, first thing comes to your mind is no hope. But that's what we desire to give them is hope, and not through us, but through Jesus. And that's the only hope we can have. For no other prayer requests, we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you thanking you for this beautiful day you've given us. Father, we thank you for each one who came out this morning. God, I pray that you take our attention off ourselves and put it on you. Lord, you help us with that. And God, you help us understand the importance of having a relationship with you and how great it is that we can have a relationship with a living God. Lord, all the prayer requests have been made known. The ones traveling, while the ones sick, we ask that you put your hand upon them, God, and lead in a way that you know is perfect. And God, we'll trust that way. And Lord, we ask you to be with our service this morning. God, touch us in a mighty way. God, be with our singers. As we come to the preaching hour, I pray that you touch my lips with your words. And God, open hearts and open minds, Lord, that your word can change them. And God, as we endeavor this new ministry for cancer patients, God, I ask that you give us the knowledge, give us understanding, give us safe travels as they travel back and forth to learn how to conduct this ministry. And Lord, as it starts, I ask that if one soul would come to know you and the free pardon of sin, that God, you know who that one is. And God, I pray that you let this effort, God, if it's nothing but planted seeds, God, I know that you're going to bless it. And Lord, I ask that you give us a desire and a willing to serve. And these blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
I believe in the sun, I believe in the risen one, I believe I overcome.
Good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. He's our
Song don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Something's wrong with you. Appreciate that singing this morning. Appreciate the service thus far, and excited when the songs go along with the message. It excites me. And be turning over to Psalms chapter number 116. Psalms chapter 116. We'll read the whole chapter. It's not that long, 19 verses. And had two funerals this week. And on the same day, actually, Wednesday, of both of them belonged to the same church where I used to pastor at Rock Springs. And as I was, the thought come to my mind about the how precious we are in the sight of God. And I looked up this verse, and it happened to be in Psalms 116. And I began reading. For 5 days in a row, I read Psalms 116 on my porch in the morning time. And I can't even begin to tell you what this verse, what this chapter means. It has to mean something to each one of us, but I pray today that it can be a testimony. I pray it's a testimony for each soul inside this building. And today, if you're saved, you had to come the same way the psalmist did. And the psalmist, I believe, was David, although many people don't know. I truly don't know. And guess what? It really do not matter. What matters is it's in the Word of God. And it is the Word of God, and God had it pinned down, and don't really matter who He had do it. The fact is, it's there for me. And as I was reading this, I began to see something in this verse. It's got a chapter. It's got a very, very simple meaning. And the title of this is, I Love the Lord. I Love the Lord. Now, this morning, I hope you can honestly say that you love the Lord. If you can't, then guess what? I want to invite you down to an old-fashioned altar to meet this God, to meet this Savior who can give you a new song in your heart, give you a new step in your, a pep in your step, and help you be able to say that you love the Lord. I want you to see this morning that loving Him is more than just saying it. Loving the Lord is more than just saying a few words. There's always got to be some actions with it. You can tell your wife you love her all day long, but until she sees some actions, she really don't believe it. So this morning in Psalms 116, I want to ask you to stand. This is a very, very sweet chapter, and I want you to get the good out of this thing. And I want you to think about it as we read it, and I want you to put yourself in this psalmist's place and see if you honestly can say that you love the Lord. Listen to this. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all these people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all these people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord. Father, we thank you today for this word. Lord, we thank you for these verses that we can put into our heart and we can read and meditate upon them and what they can speak to us. But God, most of all, my prayer is today that this would be the testimony of each soul in this building today, is that we can honestly say that we love you. And we love you because you delivered our soul, because you give us rest, and God, you put us upon a rock, and God, you secure us, and you're ever there for us. And Lord, I pray today that we, your people, would praise you, and not just in the courts of your house, but everywhere we go, Lord, that we would praise you for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Did you see the reason that the psalmist started out of, the reason why he loved the Lord? He didn't just say, I love the Lord because this, this, and this. He started out with a specific reason of why he loved the Lord. And in verses 1 through 2 this morning is where we're going to start. And he said, because he has heard. He said, I love the Lord because he has heard. How many of you remember a time when you called upon the name of the Lord? The Bible tells that, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you remember a time when you called upon the name of the Lord? Do you remember a time that when the Spirit of God began pricking that heart and drawing you to Himself and you called upon this name? Do you remember that? I remember that time. I remember the time that I called, and guess what? Bless God, not only did I call Terry, but he heard. He heard this, and you understand something. I want you to get this today. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be hard and all this, but what I do want to do is tell you the truth. You see on TV a lot of times when people will say, well, pray for that bunch and pray for this. These ungodly people will be on that news, and they don't believe God in God no more than anything. And then they'll say, pray for the ones that was dead or pray for this that happened. My friend, until you come to Jesus Christ, you cannot pray to a living God. The only way you can come to God is through Jesus. Unless you know Him, your prayer cannot even get off the bench. They cannot get off the seat. They can't get off the floor. Before God can hear you, you must come to Him through His Son. It is the only way He hears you. The first prayer that God hears is a prayer of repentance. And that's in the Scripture. That's not me. You can find that all through Scripture. But listen, he hears a poor lost soul. I began thinking about that this week on my porch and how amazing it is that an almighty God that created everything, He hears the cry of a poor little lost soul like me. He hears the cry of the worst person that's ever been on this earth. He heard the cry of the worst murderer there's ever been or the worst addict or anything. God will hear that cry through His Son. And when He hears hears that, guess what? The veil is broken in two. You remember when Jesus died on the cross? The veil of the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And now you have access, boldness. You can come before God and bring your supplications. And the Bible says because you do that, He has to hear you if you are His. I began thinking about my own children, and there's times they call upon me and I know how to help them. There's times they want things and I've got it and I can give it to them. And boy, it makes me feel good. How many times you ever give your children something and you think, I just enjoyed doing that? How much more does God enjoy giving to His children? The God that loves internally, that me and you, we don't know what this is because we see through a glass darkly. We can't fully comprehend the way God loves. But listen, how much do we love giving to our children? And how much will I listen to those children? I've never had one when my girls was little. They would want something that they really needed. You know what? I'd make sure they got it. I'd make sure they had food. I'd make sure they had water. Make sure they had clothing. We didn't have a lot of money, but we always had what we needed. And God provided that. I believe that. But I'd always make sure I could provide that. How much more does God make sure He can provide what I call upon? The psalmist says, He hath heard my voice, my supplications. In other words, He heard my prayers. He heard when I cried out. Boy, how great it is to know that. Listen, sin has separated us from God. You remember Adam and Eve, the youth said they studied about Adam and Eve this morning, Derek? You remember in that story of where they walked with God in the cool. In the cool of the day, they walked with God. And then all of a sudden, the serpent come in, he beguiled them. The sin entered into the world. And at that moment, a separation became between them and God. God came to talk to them. And now listen, God knew exactly where they was, by the way. God knew exactly they was naked. They didn't have to tell Him. But God came to speak with them, and guess where they was? They was hiding, wasn't they? Why was they hiding? Because they had been enlightened and knew they couldn't stand before a holy God because they was naked. But really, they wasn't naked. They had fig leaves on. But they was naked because they was in sin before God. And listen, that separation came at this point. And no longer could they come before God until a covering had to be made, which God killed an animal. And He clothed them, and then they could come back and they could talk. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And listen, it took the blood of Jesus to reconcile you where you could come back and commune with a holy God. Us, oh sinful people, we can't commune with a holy God. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can come before this God. So then listen, reconciliation had to be made because He heard us. And He heard, now listen what He did. Not only did He hear, the psalmist said He loved Him because He had delivered. In Psalms chapter 116, verses 3 through 8, listen what this says. This is good stuff right here. It says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Do you realize that this is the very pattern of how every sinner must come to God? This is the very way it happens. If you're come to God this morning, if you're saved in this place, you had to come this exact same way. The psalmist says, I love Him because He heard me, because He delivered. He said, I was in death and sorrow. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. Listen, you cannot come to God until you realize you are lost. You cannot be saved until you realize you need a Savior. And the psalmist here says that death compassed him about. The sorrows of death. I remember before I was saved, I was scared to death of dying. Scared of dying. I'd do anything. I thought anything I could do to make it where this day would come a little longer. I wanted to do this. I wanted to make sure I lived as long as I could. And I was scared to death of dying. And guess what? I got saved, and now listen to me. I'm not saying I want to go on the next bus, because I don't. I want to see my kids finish growing up. I want to see grandkids, and I want that to be a while, by the way. And I want to see all these great things happen, and I want to live to be an old man. And like so many old people say they don't want to be a burden to their kids. Well, I want to be a burden, Rudy. I want to live to be a burden. Bless God, they was a burden on me for 18 years. I want to be a burden for a little bit. But no, seriously, I want to live to be an old age. But listen, honestly, I can tell you right now, I do not fear death. I do not fear death, but before salvation, death can pass me. The sorrows of death, the fears of death can pass me about. I was scared to death to go out of the house. I didn't want to get into a car. It crossed my mind all the time. The sorrows of death can pass me about. And the psalmist says here, it said the pains of hell had a hold upon him. The pains of hell. You don't think about this. But you ever thought about how close you came to hell? How close you came to hell? Now listen, before I was saved, I was in a terrible car wreck. When I was 15 years old, I was in a bad car wreck. It threw me out of the car. I got a plate and some screws. I was in a Bowden hospital, if y'all remember that. Boy, I probably was real close, Rudy. I was in a Bowden hospital for about 2 days. I didn't know where I was and all this. And today I think about how close I was to hell. How close I was to spending eternity in a separation away from God. But thank God for His mercy and grace that He saw fit to preserve me and give me another opportunity and draw me to Himself. And how the pains of hell had a hold upon me. You see, we must realize this before we can be saved. The psalmist had to realize this. He said, the sorrows of death come past me. The pains of hell had a hold upon me. And I found trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. But something happened in this trouble and sorrow. Listen to what happened. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I looked up that word, beseech. You know what it means? Lord, do it now. Come now, Lord, deliver my soul. Take me now, Lord. Lord, make sure you clean that soul right now. I can't wait another minute. I can't put this off no longer. God, I want you to clean me up, is what the psalmist was saying. And listen, how great it is when we come to that knowledge and understand this thing. He delivered him. He delivered his soul from death. He delivered his soul from hell. This psalmist today had been delivered. In church, I want to ask you this morning, you may be a member here, you may have been a member 50 years, but truthfully, has your soul been delivered from the pains of death? Have you been delivered from the pains of hell? Have you been delivered from what had a hold on you, which is death and hell and the grave? Have you been delivered this morning? Can you honestly stand and tell me and honestly that you have been delivered? If you can't, you don't need to wait till the end of service. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You need to come right now because I don't know how much longer you have. Come now. He says, he delivered me. Listen, not only did he deliver the delivering from death. You read on down here. In verse 8, he says, deliver my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. He delivered his eyes from tears. You remember the scripture where it talks about heaven? God washed all the tears from their eyes. There'll be no more pain and no more sorrow. And all these things will be passed away. Listen, not only is that going to happen, it's already happened. It's so sure that it's already happened that God will wipe all those tears from your eyes. How many times since you've been saved, have you been in a hard place? Have you been through some hard times and God has delivered you and has cleaned you up and has let you know something and all of a sudden it seems that you're just in a happy place? I've been there. I've been through a place of where you think, God, there's no way I should feel like this at this point. I should be full of tears. I should be crying in all this place. But listen, he delivered the tears from my eyes. Why do we have tears? Because we're in sorrow, ain't we? We have tears when we're sorrowful. I know you can have cry happy tears also, but this is talking about the tears that came from sorrow because he realized something, that he was on his way to a place called hell. And because of this thing, his eyes was full of tears and he was crying out. Listen, the thing that's gone from our churches is of lost sinners weeping and crying out for God to save them. Today we've been led to believe that at any point you decide one morning you wake up that you can come to God. My friend, that's not Bible. The Bible teaches a man must be drawn from God and is drawing them. And when God does that, he enlightens us and he lets us know we're lost. And then at that point, you cannot be saved till you get to that point. And my friend, I'll tell you, there'll be some tears in your eyes. Some tears in your eyes. I've seen a lot of people under conviction. I've saw them sit there in their hands, grip the pews. I've saw tears run down their face. You think, oh me, what's keeping them? What's holding them back? Why will they not? You know God's working on them. You know God is calling. You know God is tugging. For some reason, they just will not come to Him. Wipe the tears. I've got the guys all out of whack back there, but Isaiah 25:8. Y'all can pull that one up. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory. Oh Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces, and the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. This was a long time before Jesus came. And listen what Isaiah says. He swallowed up death in victory. Do you realize something today, church member or church person or visitor, whoever you may be, that listen, as death has been swallowed up for you in victory by Jesus Christ. And through that, he wipes away all the tears from your eyes. The tears of being afraid of death, of being afraid of hell, all this stuff is gone. No longer does it have any more power over you. It says it's been wiped from all their faces, and the rebuke of all these people shall be taken from off the earth. No longer is a rebuke upon a child of God. This thing has been taken away, and the bonds have been loosed, and my friend, you have been delivered. You've been delivered. The psalmist loved him because he had been delivered. Not only did he wipe the tears, but he kept his feet from falling. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying to thee, fear not, I will help thee. You say, preacher, you don't know how far down I am. I know if you're a child of God, one thing's for certain, you're not falling. If you belong to him, I know you're not falling, because I've read about how strong his right hand is. And most people's right hand is their strong hand, except for some weird people, and they're left-handed. But all of us great people are right-handed. But listen, there are, I'm just joking, but listen, the right hand of God is about his power. It's about the almighty power of God. And he's got a hold of you with that right hand. He says to you, have no fear, I will help you. You will not fall. The same God that saves, he wipes away tears, and he holds you by the right hand. The psalmist realized he had been delivered. I believe the psalmist was David. And the reason I say that is I began studying and the things that David came through. Saul tried to kill him. Other men tried to kill him. He got in great sin. He got all these bad things happen to him. And still he realized something, that he had a hold of a God that wouldn't let turn loose. And not only did he didn't have a hold of God, God had a hold of him. You remember where God sent Nathan to him. And Nathan told him all that story. And he says, David, you are the man. He said, but I got good news for you, David. God's not going to kill you. God's not done with you. He's not sending you to hell, David. Because you have faith in a living God, he has forgiven you even. And he set you back upon your right place. And whoa, how David cried out to God. Today, if you can truly get through your head that you've been delivered, there'll be a change in your life. The psalmist realized he had been delivered. Listen what else. He loved him because he had been given rest. Verses 6 and 7. The Lord preserved the simple, and I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I began thinking about this, about returning to rest, O my soul. You see, I believe that God formed this soul of mine before the foundations of the world. I believe it. The Bible teaches that. He formed that, and guess what else? He knew exactly what my life would hold. It didn't surprise God on June 27, 1997, that I received him on that second pew at Concord Baptist Church. That didn't surprise God one bit. He knew when it was going to happen. He knew how to make it happen. He knew everything about it. But listen here. I believe he did that. And listen, before July the 13th, 1975, my soul was at complete rest. No, I don't remember it. One day I'll probably get to see how that happened. But my soul was at complete rest. And God had already made that thing. He had made it perfect. It's at complete rest until it come in this world of sin. And then for 44 years, it's been struggling and striving. And bless God, it's been making it by the power of God. But one day this soul will go back to the rest of when God created it. Boy, is that not great? Oh, soul, return to rest. My friend, you don't know what rest is. You say, well, I rest every night. Oh, you don't rest like this is rest. You'll rest in the eternal presence of God, where you won't have a single worry in the world. You won't have to worry about a power bill. You won't have to worry about cancer. You won't have to worry about the house payment, a car payment, or whatever it is. You'll have nothing to worry about. Your soul will be at complete rest forever with God. And the psalmist realized that. I have been given rest. You realize that we have to have rest. I heard this in Sunday school, and I kind of chuckled a little bit because I knew what was coming. We heard in our Sunday school class that on the average life of a person, we sleep 25 years. You ever thought about that? I didn't think it would be that long, but according to the writer, he said we sleep 25 years of our life. Pat's probably way ahead of that. She don't get up to about 3 o'clock every day. But we sleep all this time, we have to have rest. Listen to this. We think we're big and strong. You realize something? You get weary, as the writer said, every day. Every day you must have rest. Some of you need more than others. Some people rest for 4 hours, some for 6 hours, some for 8 hours. But one thing's for certain, without rest, you get weary. And when you get weary, you get angry. When you get angry, you become no good. And if you're too weary, you can have a wreck driving a car. You can fall asleep on your job or whatever it is. My friend, you must have rest. And listen, there's nobody more miserable than somebody who is not at rest. Nobody more miserable. He says, I have been given rest. You ever found people that couldn't find rest? I've seen people who God was working on and they couldn't find rest. They tried everything they could find. They would come over here and they would try to do this hobby for a while. There was no rest there. They would try this church. There was no rest. They would try that church. There was no rest. It's not until they come to the perfect will of God that they truly found rest. Until Jesus delivers your soul from hell, there is no rest. Matthew 11:29. Listen to this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find rest. You want rest today? Jesus. You want rest for your soul? Jesus. He is the only rest that will last. You know, you can try all these other things. You can try your money. You can try your job. You can try relationships or whatever you want to. But you will not find true rest until you find Jesus Christ. Outside of Him, your life is a mess. It's in a tangle. You don't know what to do. You can't go a certain direction. You're not settled. You're not on a path. You're just wandering every which way. And you will not find rest until you find Jesus Christ. Actually, until He finds you. To deliver your soul from hell. We must have rest in our soul, which God formed, can only rest back in its union with God, back in its perfect place of where it started. How many of y'all ever seen a brand new baby? Everybody's seen a brand new baby, ain't we? Oh, well, that baby comes into the world, and us daddies, we love them, and we think they're the best thing in the world. But listen, when daddy's holding that baby, I remember Amberly there, a little ugly thing wrinkled up. She was there, and she would cry and cry and cry as I was holding her. But I could give her to mama, and guess what? She would immediately calm. You know why that was? Because all that little body had knew for 10 months was Stephanie. And then when you take it away from the mama, there wasn't any rest. She may be okay for a few minutes, but pretty soon she wanted to be back where it was she was used to. She wanted to be back there. That's where your soul is. God formed that soul, and the soul cannot rest till it's back in union with God. There is no rest. Listen to what else the psalmist realized. He was perfect. He loved God because he realized he was perfect and he was precious. Verse 15. I preached this at a funeral this week, and boy, this verse is awesome. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And I said in a funeral, I was being a little comical because you got to make people laugh at a funeral because it's just dreary. You realize today that your husband, if he's saved, is a saint. Your wife, if she's saved, is a saint. You say, preacher, you don't live with them. You don't live with them. Listen, I don't have to live with them. I know the Word of God. The Word of God says that we're made saints. It says we made saints by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what a saint is? A saint is a perfect individual. A saint is one that's perfect. No, you don't live perfect in your flesh, but by the Spirit of God dwelling in you and the blood applied to your life, to God you are perfect because you've come through His Son. And His Son is perfect, and you have become a saint. And because of this, your death is precious in the sight of the Lord. What does that mean? That means it's dear to Him. That means that honestly, He is ready for that day of reunion that you physically get to spend back with Him. And listen, the moment He sees you enter into the portals of heaven, I believe there's rejoicing in that place. I believe God even rejoices. How many of you have ever lost something that's precious to you? You ever lost your diamond ring? You ever lost a $100 bill? You ever lost maybe your car, your truck? Maybe you've lost something that whatever the most valuable thing is to you, you've lost it. The Bible teaches about this. Then when we go find it, remember the parable of the lost coin and the lost son. And then if we've lost something precious, what do? We go out and we hunt that precious thing, don't we? If we've lost a $100 bill, we'll tear the car apart. We'll tear the house apart. If we've lost our wedding ring, we'll tear the place apart till we find it because it's precious. That's exactly what God does to us. He comes hunting us. He comes find us. And then He saves us. And then we get to spend eternity with Him. So precious to Him is the death of one of His saints. Precious. The psalmist realized that he was precious. And because of this, he loved God. All this goes back to the scriptures, but says, I love him because he first loved me. He loved you. He loved you with an unfailing love. You are precious. Goes back to that children. I think our children's the closest thing we can find to knowing the love of God. Why do I say that? Because has any of y'all's children in here ever done anything wrong to y'all? Boy, y'all got some good ones. Mine have. But you know what? I can't start to mention every one of them. I can't start to mention hardly any of them. And you know what? They have done more wrong to me and taught worse to me than any other person that I have ever been around. And you have your parents probably. But you know what? They still love me. And I still love them. You know why? Because there's a love there that's not attached to works. It's not attached to anything. There's a love that's attached because they belong to me. And they come from me. And that's why I love them. And listen, you come from God. And His Spirit comes. If you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, it comes from Him. And He loves you unconditional. And listen, no matter all the wrong you've done, He's willing to forgive you and bring you back to Himself. And today, He loves you more than you can even imagine. As you love your kids. As our kids begin growing up and moving out, we begin joking. Woo, glad they're gone. We'll say that jokingly, but inside we're probably dying. I remember Amberly's wedding. I said I was going to have myself a party. I can't even explain the feelings of that first night she was gone from home, of knowing she wouldn't be back. It's just weird. You can't explain it. And I know we say jokingly also, don't worry, they'll be back and bring more with them. But we love them, and we offer them to come back anytime they want to. I know we may say, I cut up with Blake, and I said, hey, she's yours. Ain't no coming back. She's got a taillight warranty. When we can't see your taillight, she's yours. Defects, problems, or whatever, that's yours. But you know what? She could come back anytime she wanted to, but you better not. We all could. Mom and Daddy's house will always be open to us. So is our Father to us. He loves us. And we're precious to Him. Because the psalmist realized all of this, he could pin down verse 18 and 19. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. Remember what the scripture says with confession made into salvation? Confess the Lord. He said, if you're ashamed of me in front of people, I'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father. We should confess Him in front of a crowd. If He's yours today, you'll be able to say it. I know. Listen, I'm living proof that the greatest fear we can have is speaking in front of a crowd. I have had to overcome that. I'm pretty much over it. But listen, that's still a great fear to me, is talking in front of people. And I know it is to you. I've heard some of you say it. Preacher, I just cannot talk in front of people. Listen, you must be willing to tell people about Jesus Christ, because He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of Him. And you may say, well, I'm not ashamed of Him. I just don't want to talk in front of people. Well, He says we must confess Him. He says, confess Him. Listen to this. I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. In the courts of the Lord's house. He says, in the church house, praise God. Boy, are we not guilty of not doing that. So many times we sit here and look like we're mad at the world because we got everything on our minds and we're not focusing on the One who died for us, who saved us from our sins, who gave us eternal life, who gives us peace and rest, and all these things I preached about. And we look like we're mad at everybody. We don't want anything to do, and we wonder why visitors don't come back, because we look like we've been eating lemons. Listen, we should be the happiest people on the earth because we realize something, that God has delivered us. Because of this, I should be able to give Him praise, no matter who's around. And listen, church, if you will not praise Him in the church house, I promise you something, you will not praise Him on the street corner. It's easy here. You know why? Because we're all here for the same reason. We all most have the same beliefs, that there's one God and there's one Savior. We can be different denominations. We can have the same Savior, believing who He is. There's only one way. Hey, he don't know anything about Baptist, Methodist, any of this stuff. All he knows is His way is perfect. If you're not going to praise Him here, you're probably not going to praise Him on the street corner. But He says, praise in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee. In other words, around all of your brethren, praise Him. Even in Jerusalem. Even in a city. In a city, praise Him. Everywhere you go, you should praise God. Why should you praise God? It goes back to the very start of this, because you love Him. is a reason you should praise Him. There's something we like, we'll praise Him. How many of us is quick to talk about how great Alabama football is because we like it? We're quick to talk about our favorite race driver or our favorite golf star, our favorite movie star or singer or whatever it is. Boy, they're the greatest things ever been. Why do we do that? Because we have an affection for them. And today, why should we praise the Lord? He's done way more for me than any football team ever will. He's done more for me than my wife, my mother, my daddy, or everybody. And we'll talk about how great they are. Today, church, it's time that we start praising God. Do not be ashamed. You praise Him in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee. O Jerusalem, praise Him. Praise Him everywhere you can. David's life is a pattern. I believe the psalmist is David. We could argue about that if you want to. Seriously, I'm not going to argue. The psalmist. We'll call him the psalmist. Life is a pattern to all of the way a person must come to God. He realized he was lost, could feel the pains of death and hell. He called out to God, and God heard that cry. He found grace and mercy when he was brought low. In Jesus, he found rest. Because of this great mercy, he had no problem praising God everywhere. Have you ever met somebody that has been real low in life? Now listen, I know a sinner is a sinner. When God saves us, we're saved. Well, it don't matter if we're the worst or the best. We still needed salvation. But how many times you saw somebody, it looked like there was no hope. It looked like there was no hope. God pulled them from the miry clay. There's no doubt it was a work of His hand. By the way, of us who thought we was good, it was a work of His hands if we're saved today. We was just as bad as they was, but to the outside world, it looks like that there was no hope for that person. Does it not seem like that person has no problem praising God? I believe it's the point they realize how far or how close even they was to hell. And some of us goody-two-shoes who never was addicted, who never was a murderer, who never was a this, who never was that, we think we was pretty good. My friend, your righteousness are filthy rags. They're nothing in the sight of God. The only thing that will stand before God is the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you praise Him today? Will you praise Him? There may be some here that can't say I love Him because you don't know Him. You can't love somebody you don't know. And I pray for the rest of you, or the rest of us, that this is a testimony. I have set my mind that I'm going to try to remember this entire psalm. I don't know if I know I can if I put my mind to it. I've said I want to remember that whole psalm. What a great testimony that would be to be able to quote that whole thing to people. If you could just say the first words of it, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And be honest and could mean it. This morning, I ask you a very important question. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Remember, He asked Peter three times. He's asking you today, do you love Him? We would. Please stand as Pat comes forth. The reasons, I'll give you just a few reasons of why that psalmist loved God. I could just imagine the pain and suffering that David went through. Oh, the sin that he got himself caught up in and knowing that God had delivered him. But you see, I realized something, that I was in the same place. The sorrows of death compassed me. The gates of hell had a hold upon me. I could not have been delivered. I couldn't deliver myself. I couldn't have done anything to get out of that pain. I couldn't have done anything to get away from that death. It took Jesus Christ dying that sacrificial death on Calvary, going to that grave for 3 days, rising again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It took Him. It still today takes Jesus. What I was saying earlier, I don't think I finished it. We believe that are being taught so many places that we can wake up, decide today's the day I'm coming to Him. We can go up, we can sign a paper, we can get dipped in some water, and boom, we good. My friend, that's not Scripture. Scripture today says we must be found low. We must be found. We must have the sorrows of death compass me. We must realize that hell has a hold upon me before we can be delivered. Have you been there today? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have called upon Him and that He has delivered your soul? If you have, I want to challenge you, church, that we become a church of praise. You say, oh, they think something's wrong with us. There are something wrong with us. Something's got a hold on us. The Lord is great. He's worthy to be praised this morning. How many will praise Him, not caring what people think? He has delivered your soul from hell. He's delivered your soul from death. He has brought you out of the miry clay. Don't be afraid to tell somebody today. As she prays, you need to come receive Christ. If He has let you know that you're lost this morning, you feel the Spirit of God drawing you to Himself, will you come? Will you come?